Thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, we are so privileged to have his word and to just have his presence. Just so sweet. It was just, worship was just so sweet with you guys. You sounded like a choir. I don't think anybody was off key but one. And I was sitting in the back, so you couldn't hear me. So. Either that or we were all off key together, but it just seemed like the last couple of songs, the Lord's presence just kind of hushed everything and just kind of moved all the distractions away and just kind of settled our hearts. It was just too bad we had to open our eyes and then realize we're still here. But as we go to Genesis 29 and take a peek here, it says this in Psalm 31, verse 15, he says, "My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Our times are in his hands. And Jacob is going to come to realize that in this chapter. He's going to come to realize that he's not alone, even though it seems like he's left the Lord in the presence of the Lord. Because remember the last chapter, and I don't know how he could do this, but all our hearts are the same, aren't they? that he's in the place, he's sleeping on a rock. Great place to sleep, huh? He's sleeping on a rock in the presence of the Lord, just overwhelms him. And he just sees the angels ascending and descending to heaven. And he leaves. And he said, "Lord, if you're really God, that when I come back, I'll meet with you and I'll even give you an offering." Isn't that nice of him? Gee, thanks, Lord. I'll come back and I'll give you an offering. But you see, the Lord doesn't leave him. He kind of leaves the presence of the Lord. He kind of leaves that place of fellowship with the Lord to go to a place to receive something. He's still afraid of his brother. His parents have told him to leave because Esau wants to kill him. And so he runs and he's going to get a wife, but God never told him to go, but he goes. And it really becomes then just a type for us of just a person who has met the presence of the Lord, but then walks away just to go to a place to receive something from the world, to receive something for the flesh. You know, how sad a place that is to be. But thank goodness God doesn't leave us because we've chosen something else. He allows us to make those decisions. We have that free will, don't we? That we can leave the presence of the Lord and just say, "Lord, not right now. I'm busy about my stuff. I have my things that I want to do. I have my own heart that I want to satisfy. And Lord, right now, you're not part of it." And I'm so thankful that God doesn't leave and say, "Okay, you're done." Instead, he still sovereignly, and we have sovereignty here, we have free will here, but both are in Scripture. I don't know how you put them together because you can't, but you do. So you deal with it with the Lord, and he'll take care of it for you. But here in chapter 29, it says, "Then Jacob went on his journey, and he came into the land of the people of the east." So he comes to a place. He comes out of the place of blessing. Remember, the land that was there was a blessing for God's people, for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob now, because Jacob is the eldest. He received the blessing. So the blessing is there, but he leaves that place of blessing. And boy, we point fingers at him, don't we? You say, "What is wrong with you?" But of course, there's still three looking back at us going, "What is wrong with you?" And boy, we miss those blessings so often. And I have to throw in a confession here. Yesterday we had a birthday party for our granddaughter at our house. Girls. 11-year-old girls, and the screaming was just a little much. They were in the backyard. I couldn't hear a thing in the front yard. So I kind of took a walk, and as I went down the street, there was one of the guys that we know on the street, and he was mowing his lawn. And I said, "Well, I'll just go in and into this church parking lot and walk around the parking lot, and I'll just kind of sneak by him. And I won't say hi to him because he's mowing his lawn and I really just want to pray and just walk." And so I went through, but God in his sovereignty said, "You think you're getting away with this, huh? And as soon as I got near the guy, he turned around. His back was towards me. Just like, Lord, really? You nudged his shoulder to tell him that I was behind him? And he turns around, and he was just so happy to see me. And, of course, I started feeling guilty right away. And he starts talking to me, and as we're talking, he just had a stroke last year, and he still can't drive. His sight was affected. He still can't see well enough to drive, so the doctors won't let him drive. And I said, well, if you need something, let us know. And he says, well, you know, my wife has got stage 4 cancer, too. And it's just like, oh, Lord. And so I'm feeling even more guilty because I was just going to walk by this guy and just blow him off because I just wanted to walk. Lord, it's about me. It's about my walk. Come on now. Don't interrupt my walk, Lord. And he was just so thankful that I talked to him that at the end he gave me a huge hug. He was just so thankful. And I'm sitting there, and I had to repent all the way around the church parking lot. It's just like, oh, Lord, I almost blew it. I almost missed the blessing of seeing a smile come on this guy's face just because I said hi. And I would have missed it had I just kept walking, not being in the right place, not doing the right things. And here's Jacob doing the same thing, isn't it? We are not without sin. We are not without being in the same place that Jacob is, are we? Sometimes we just go in those places where we just miss the blessing because we're so self-centered, we're so self-focused that we miss what God is doing. And instead of crying out, Lord, what do you want? It's more of, Lord, this is what I want. So I want you to bless this. That's Jacob, isn't it? Lord, I want you to bless me while I go. And he's going to, but he's still not going to be satisfied, is he? And this guy ends up with 4 wives, bunches of kids, but he's still not satisfied. Lord, if I just get more of the world, I'm going to be satisfied. If I can just have one more thing, Lord, I'll be satisfied. If you can answer my prayers for my family, I'll be satisfied. You know what? If we're not satisfied with the Lord, we're not going to be satisfied with anything that he brings us. We've got to be satisfied with him first so that all these other things we can be contented with. And so Jacob comes to this place. He's in the wrong place. He has no altar. It's amazing. Remember, he poured oil on the stone that was there, poured oil on that stone where he laid, and really started worshiping there. But he's now without an altar. And it says this in Hosea, as Hosea speaks to the people of Israel, as he speaks to them about the things that they're going to be going through, about the things that they have and they don't have. It says this in chapter 3. And he says, and I said unto her, speaking of Israel, you shall abide for many days. You shall not play the harlot, and you shall not be for another man. So I will be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image, without an ephod, speaking of the presence of the Lord, and without a teraphim. But then afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. Just speaking of the things. So really it's talking about the kingdom to come. And you can almost see a type of things that are happening here, an illustration of the things that are going to come later on. Because they go into a land of bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. 430 years they're going to be in Egypt. The first 30 are okay. After that, we're not doing well, are we? We're in bondage. We're under tutelage of somebody else. We're in that place of just having to serve. But it almost can speak of our own lives, too, as we go into places that are ungodly. And we go into servitude for something else. And boy, it just does so much damage to our hearts and to that place of blessing, that place that we could be in. And don't you regret some of the things that you did in your life? Thank you, Michael. We all do. And we're all, Lord, I am so sorry. I missed all those years. I didn't get saved till I was 32. And boy, I was the black sheep of the family. And then I got saved. And then I got to be the black sheep of the other part of the family. I don't know. I was kind of the black sheep all the way around. But isn't it strange that we do those things and then we realize I just missed out on the best part of my life because I wasn't walking with the Lord. And boy, these past 40-some years, I'm not telling you how old I am, but you can guess. Somebody told me I was older than dirt. I don't know. But, hey, Michael, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. No. But praise the Lord. You know, we get so caught up with those things, and then we realize later on after we've walked with the Lord that, man, I just wish I had started out young. Wish I got saved when I was 5. Wish I'd just walked with him all my life. But you know what? God has a perfect plan for us. He knows the day that we're going to get saved. He knows the day and the hour that he's going to come get us and rapture us to heaven. Today would be a great day. But let's just be ready all the time. Now that we finally know the Lord, now that we finally submitted our hearts to the Lord, and if you haven't this morning, Bill gave a great salvation message already. I don't have to do it. He already did it. If you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're saved. If you confess your sins, if you just call out to him and ask him to save you from yourself, from the things of this world, that he'll come and save you. What a gracious God we serve. I didn't plan on all that. We just kind of got into it here. Anyway, so he comes into the land. He's got no blessing. He's without an altar. We're going to see later in a couple of chapters that really he picks up a name that isn't wanted by Laban's other sons. But God was still taking care of him. And ultimately, he brings him back to the right place. He brings him back to the place of blessing. And that's what God does, is he grabs a hold of us and he gets our attention and then he brings us to that place of blessing. And it doesn't have to be a town, doesn't have to be a city, doesn't have to be a church. It's that place where God is and we are. Because we can worship anywhere. And the days are coming and we know that they're going to come where this is not going to be allowed anymore. But you know what? We're still not going to close the doors. They can close the doors. But God is going to be with us wherever we are. And we can have fellowship. We can have worship. We can be satisfied and content no matter what place we're in. And that goes as far as what's happening with these temples that God is dealing with. We can get cancer. We can get bad news with our families. We can have issues go on all around us. Lose jobs. Lose our homes. All those things. But God isn't going to leave us. Don't let those things drag you down and bring you into despair. Your health fails, God is still with you. Your kids leave, God is still with you. The cancer comes, God is still with you. And you can still rejoice because his presence is still with you. Oh, Lord, help us. We say it, don't we? But boy, when it comes down to the rubber hitting the road, it gets a little hard, doesn't it? It smells a little bit, it hurts a little bit, hurts a lot. But God can even pave those things over and make those things well. The man who wrote, "It is well with my soul," such a sweet story behind that song. And when we were younger, we used to go to the Open Door Mission with our kids and serve here and there. And it was sweet because there was one lady that was always there, and she had a voice like mine. Except she used it. I just kind of hushed mine down. She didn't really care. I'm so thankful for that. But every time we were there, they used to sing "It as well with my soul," and she would just belt it out. But the man who wrote it, he wrote it when he was on a ship going to a place where his 4 daughters drowned months before when they were going across from America back to England. And as they got to the spot, the captain showed him where that spot was. He sat down and wrote, "It is well with my soul." And that can only happen when you're content with the God who loves you, when you're content in the place that God has got you, and when you realize that you're in God's hands and it's okay. He's teaching Jacob that. He's teaching you and I that, isn't he? As we go through these afflictions that he brings to us. Because we're not without affliction. I hate to tell you, but the name it and claim it's just don't have it right. Everything is not rosy with Christianity. Things hurt. The world comes in. These tents fall apart. These bodies just don't agree with us anymore getting up and running 10 miles, do they? And how many of you ran 10 miles this morning? How many of you, you did not, Michael. How many of you even thought about walking 10 miles? None of us. But we can still be content. And God is teaching Jacob. It's going to take him a while, just like it takes us. But it's a good thing. So it says in verse 2, wow, already in verse 2, wow. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth, just kept on there so that they could keep it fresh and keep it somewhat sanitary, so that when the flocks came, they could open it up and feed them. And it says, and thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, we're of Haran, that place that means parched. Gee, I'm so happy to be here. It's a parched place. It's a dry place. Have you ever hit those in your life? You hit those places where you're dry, you're parched, and you just want some satisfaction. And you try the things of the world, and they just don't satisfy till you hit that living water. And the living water quenches that thirst that we have. We're of Haran. And he said unto them, well, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. Notice they don't say it was good or bad. We know him. He's there. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, and until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. How would you like that job, ladies? You think your kids were bad. She kept them. And it came to pass that when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Really? And she wants to marry this guy? First time he sees her, he goes up and kisses her. And then he starts crying. Really? Let's see, this is going to be my husband. He kisses me on the first date, soon as he sees me at the door, and then he starts crying. Oh, no, no, no. Not this guy, Lord. All the emotions just come pouring out. But isn't it strange, as you look back, remember the last time we were in this place? Rebecca was gotten. But the servant went and got Rebecca and brought her to Isaac. And now all of a sudden things are reversed, and the man goes to get his own bride, and he stays there. Completely out of order, completely out of whack, and yet God is still working. And sometimes we go through the same things. Everything in our life is out of whack. It feels like everything is out of order. There's no order to it. There's no reason to it. It's just that things are going on, things are happening, and we just can't understand all that's going on, and yet God is still working. One of the brothers wrote me the other day and said, you know, there's a place where we think the world is just falling apart, and it is, but everything is still in God's control. Nothing is out of control. It's in God's control. And Wade said it during the announcements, too, just to confirm it. It's just a sweet place where we can realize, God, the stuff around us is out of control, but you're not out of control. And aren't you glad you've got a God that isn't up there going, uh-oh, we're in real trouble. I don't know what to do now. Maybe we should go to plan B. There is no plan B. There's plan A, and he's got it, and it's completely in order for him. Oh, Don't get discouraged because the world is out of order. It's going to be, because this is not his world. His world is a world of order and peace and grace and direction. It's not a world of disorder like this is. And soon he's going to put that to rest and restore things the way that they should be. Can you wait to see the kids leading the lions and playing in the snake's holes, and you don't have to sit there and scream, "Get out of here!" Everything's going to be in order the way that it should be, and you and I are going to get to see it. Oh, and to be with Jesus during that whole time, to be used by him. Oh, thank you, Lord, to get things in order for a change. Don't worry, these 70 years are going quick. We'll be home, and we'll be with him forever. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Be encouraged. And so verse 12, it says, "And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass that when Laban heard of the tidings that Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things." Laban's happy. Remember the last time they came? He had camels worth of stuff that he gave to Laban as a dowry for Rebekah. Laban's happy. Oh boy, dollar signs are flashing in front of his face. Yahoo, they're back. The wagon train has come in. We're ready. Let's go. And so Laban said unto him, "Surely you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And he abode with him in the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Isn't that nice? Laban's a great guy. He only made him serve for a month without paying him before he finally decided to pay him. How would you guys like that? Go to work for a month without getting paid? The last time we were in Serbia, just talking with one of the pastor there and just seeing the poorness of the country. And this was years ago. I can't imagine what it is now. But he was saying that the people hold on to their jobs. And a lot of times they don't get paid for weeks at a time. And they can't quit, because if they quit, there is no income. At least while they have a job, there's a hope that maybe one of those days, one of those weeks, some other paycheck is going to come. And there's not a welfare system. So guess what? You either work or you have nothing. And so they would work, and a lot of them wouldn't be getting paid only about once a month. And then not the full pay, just whatever the owner could afford or wanted to pay them. But here's Jacob, works for a month. He's there, he's got room and board, but he's not making anything. And so Laban comes up, and he really wants him to stay. He sees that there's a worker that's available. Sees that there's somebody there that wants to work, and so he's going to take advantage of this. And here we see, here Jacob, is his name means dirty, sneaky thief. Laban's name should have been Jacob too, because we got two dirty, sneaky thieves. And guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. They're connivers, both of them. And they're together in one place. That's an awful thing. That's an awful picture. So Laban says unto Jacob, "Because you're my brother, should you serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And their names mean weary or tender-eyed, and ewe, like ewe lamb, like a lamb, just the sweetness of that presence. So we get a picture of one being not so beautiful and the other one being very beautiful. It says that Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. So abide with me." And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Really? Amazing, isn't it? Jerry just got rid of one of his other daughters just the other week. And He didn't make him serve 7 years for her. He wanted to get rid of her as soon as we can. Not really, but that's the picture. 7 years he serves her. Seven, the number of perfection, the number of completion. This certainly is it. And they seemed to unto him but for a few days, for the love he had for her. Oh, all he had was these hearts in his eyes just dancing through as he looked at Rachel every day for 7 years, serving in the fields. And Jacob said unto Laban, verse 21, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and they made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, oh boy, here we go, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for a handmaid. Her name means a fragrant dropping, just the fragrance that would come through. And it came to pass in the morning. And my mind goes, you slept with this woman all night long, and you didn't realize you had the wrong woman. Don't know. That's as far as we're going. So in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what have you done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Wherefore have you beguiled me? Hello, Mr. Beguile, meet Mr. Beguile. Here we are. We're in that place, and he just got taken. Says this in Galatians 6, 6 and 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting. We're in those places where if we're sowing to the flesh, we're going to get what the flesh deserves. If you sow to the Spirit, if you give your heart to the Spirit, if you give your life to the Spirit, you're going to reap the benefits of a spiritual life. And boy, for the church in America, I think we're in a place where we really need a spiritual life to be seen so that the world can have a witness that Jesus is still working. The world is just getting worse and worser and worser. I know those are bad words for you English teachers, I'm sorry, but that's the best I can get. My vocabulary just dropped off and I don't have any more. It's getting bad, and it's not going to get better. Scripture tells us it's not going to get better. The world, the government keeps telling us it's going to go back to normal. There is no normal. It wasn't normal on the day after they ate of the fruit of the tree in the garden. It was abnormal. And it wasn't getting any better, and it still hasn't. We're still looking for that normal to come, but we're looking in the wrong places. We're looking at the wrong things because we're trying to sow to the flesh and not sow to the Spirit. If you're looking at what the Spirit is doing, if you're listening to His voice, if you're hearing what He's saying and the way that He's directing and leading you, you're going to realize that your contentment is outside of this world, outside of time, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth, like it tells us in Colossians 3. Set your affections there, because that's where our treasure is being built up. That's where those that have gone before us that knew Jesus are. Don't you want to see Him again? And this world is coming to a place where I'm just having a deeper longing to go home than ever before. I just want to be with Jesus. I want to be out of this. And call me an escapist. I am. I want to go home to Jesus. And I think our ages are getting us to that place too. Because I really hate falling out of bed in the morning and having to try and push myself up and get myself on my legs. It's just getting harder and harder all the time. It's more fun just standing up naturally. But that's only going to come with Him now, because these bodies are breaking down just like this world is breaking down, just like the world system is breaking down. We're just a type of what's going on in the world. It's breaking down more and more. The diseases are going to be more. They're going to be worse. There's going to be less antibodies that are going to take care of things. diseases. They're going to become immune to some of the antibiotics that we have. We already see that they're changing some of those things because our bodies are just going through things, and the diseases are just bringing things that they just can't control. And then we've got people in the world who want to cut the population down to 500 million people. There's 7.5 billion people in the world. And you think you're going to be one of the 500 million out of 7.5 billion? I don't think so. I think they already have their numbers picked out, and we are not included because you guys are terrorists to the government. So already you lost, and it's not going to be a lottery system. It's going to be a money system. Aren't you glad that you've got one who loves you and who takes care of you? He's not a one who bases his love for you on how much you have or what you can give to his system. It's based on his love for you and his sacrifice for you and what he's done for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. His system is so much better. Oh. So in the morning, he sees that it's Leah. He goes to Laban. Why have you tricked me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country. Hello, why didn't you tell me that yesterday? I might have changed my mind 7 years ago and gone home. It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which you shall serve me yet another 7 years. Conniving, conniving, conniving. Do you think Jacob is sitting there going, let's see, I tricked my brother into giving me his birthright, tricked my brother into giving me everything that he had. Do I think I'm getting paid back for it? Oh. And don't you hate, as you remember what you've done to others, don't you hate what you did to them somewhat sometimes? It just grates on me at times to think of what I've done to people, and it's just so awful, but I'm so thankful that God gives us that gift of repentance so that we can confess our sins and ask for forgiveness and know that we have forgiveness in our Savior because he died and paid the price for us. Our judgment was paid for on the cross. It's not to come. To come is the reward of being Christians, of walking with him. We don't have to face judgment anymore. That judgment was taken by my Savior, by your Savior, and his name is Jesus. There's something about that name. Oh, yeah. So Jacob did so. Oh, boy. And fulfilled her week. And remember now, he's gone. And what did his mother say to him when he left? Go for a few days. Go for a little while. This is going to be 14 years. He's going to be there a total of 20 years. He's 77 when he gets there. Going to be 97 before he leaves. I don't know about you, but making a 500-mile trek at 97 is probably not in my future. Let's see, a mile a day, that's a long time before I get back home again. amazing. So Jacob did so, fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So already he's not walking in truth, is he? Because what did the Lord say in Genesis? One wife, one husband. He's already got two. He's in a land he shouldn't be in because remember, the Lord called Abraham out of this land. They're in Ur of the Chaldees, down near Assyria. Told him to get out. Told Isaac, his father, sojourn in this land and I'll give you a blessing. He's out of the place of blessing. We don't see once him worshiping to the Lord here. While he's in this land, can you imagine going through for 20 years and not reading your Bible, not worshiping the Lord, not going to church? And yet here's Jacob. But we go, Lord, it may not have been 20 years, but I know I've done it for extended periods of time. I know I haven't worshiped you. I haven't thought about you. I haven't prayed to you. I haven't asked you for your ways. Lord, forgive me for that. And so it says in verse 29, that Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. Her name means timid. And he went in also under Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet another 7 years. Just an amazing thing. It says this in Matthew chapter 6, Verse 21, for where your heart is, or for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For no man can serve two masters. He's got two wives. I'll be very honest. It's hard to serve one wife. Hello. I'm supposed to dwell with her according to knowledge. I don't think I have enough knowledge. Because things that used to be are no longer, and things that should be aren't there, and the things that were will not be. And you just keep going back and forth and going, okay, I'm really struggling, Lord. But you know what? As you deal with it, as you trust Him for it, the sweetness of that relationship just grows and grows. We were at a point years ago where we had separated just because we couldn't get along with each other. And the Lord miraculously brought us back together. And it is so sweet now. It's so much sweeter than it's ever been. It's a relationship that He's put together. We couldn't do it. I can't satisfy her. She can't satisfy me. But God can. And then He just blesses us in the midst of it together. And that is sweet. That's what God can do. And I have to ask you this morning, how big is your God? Can He satisfy you today? Or is your God too small to satisfy you? If He's too small to satisfy you, you've got the wrong God. Because my God is big enough to satisfy us in every area, in every way, no matter what our circumstances are. Oh, this chapter's too long or I'm too short. I don't know. Thank you. And he went into Rachel and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served him yet another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. What a picture that's going on here. The Lord taking care of Leah, ministering to Leah, helping her, blessing her. She was the one that was hated, it says. She wasn't loved as much as Rachel, but the Lord sees, he says, you're hated. Isn't that what it said in Matthew chapter 6? You can't serve two masters because one is going to be hated and one is going to be loved. And here it is. They're in that place. Our heart has to be single focused before we can be satisfied with what God is doing. And you know what? God isn't going to do things the way that we want Him to. He's going to do things the way that He knows is best for us. And we may not like all those things that He brings into our lives. But if you're satisfied with Him and content with Him, no matter what He brings your way, you can be okay with it, and you can continue to trust Him in it. And that's so necessary for the times that we're in. So Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, which means see a son. She was so happy, so blessed, because she got a man child for her husband. See, look, a son. I've given you a son. For she said, surely the Lord has looked upon mine affliction. She considered her husband hating her in affliction. That certainly is an affliction, isn't it? See, his son, God has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And as we go through this last portion, you can certainly see in the midst of it how Israel comes into Egypt and goes through the things that they go through in Egypt. There's similarities that are going on with the sons that are here, as well as what's happening in their lives. So we see this place where she comes, she has this man-child, and she says, therefore, my husband will love me. Ladies, you aren't going to be able to please your husbands enough in a place where he will love you just for the things that you do. He will love you because God has given him a love for you. Be content with your God. God made you perfectly. God made you great, and God will continue to love you and give your husband that love for you that you need to have. Only God can do that. If they're not listening to God, you can still be content because you have Him. He'll be your husband. He'll be the one that takes care of you. But trust Him. He's that big that He can do that. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. There she is again. She's got a complex, doesn't she? You think you got a dysfunctional family? Guess what? Dysfunction personified right here. She's hated, and yet she keeps trying to please her husband. Don't we do that? The Lord heard that I was hated. He has therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon, or hearing. hearing, the one who hears, the one who comes to a place of hearing. And didn't Israel do that in Egypt? Moses came and told them that God wanted to free them from slavery, and they finally heard that God wanted to deliver them. Oh, just a picture. They finally had their ears opened. After 430 years, their ears were opened to realize God wanted to draw them to a different place. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. She's still looking to be satisfied and to satisfy her husband. When all the time God has made her perfect in the way that he made her. She didn't have to change sexes. She didn't have to become a man instead of a woman. She didn't have to go and take more classes. She just had to be satisfied with who God was. And he was going to take care of her. Now my husband will be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. It's not my three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. Levi, this man who was joined. Now will my husband be joined unto me. And his name was called Levi. And didn't Israel do that? They joined in one heart, one mind with Israel, with Moses as he was leading them. They joined the presence of the Lord to be led out of captivity and to be set free. And she conceived again and bare a son. Shoo. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And she left bearing. Judah, of course, means praise. And didn't Israel do that? They started praising the Lord because he had heard them. They had heard him. And they're starting to walk in that place now of believing that God could deliver him. And they started praising. And they started worshiping. But isn't it strange as you look at this, and I know there's a lot and I've been long-winded this morning, but isn't it strange that Leah is the one, she was the one that was hated. She was the one that wasn't loved as much as Rachel. And yet she's the one that bears Levi, which becomes the priesthood. She's the one that also bears Judah, the place of praise. Rachel never did, but Leah did. See, even though her husband didn't love her as much, God loved her completely. Oh, folks, if you're feeling despised or you're discouraged with what's going on, don't be, because God loves you perfectly. He knows your heart. He knows the things that are going on in your life. He knows that you may be despised or rejected, but he also knows that he has a way to take care of you. The sweet thing is that Jacob finally realizes this in later chapters, and he's going to go be buried with her and not with Rachel. He's like most of us guys. Years later, we go, ah, I get it now. And our wives go, I knew that 40 years ago. Where you been? I've been out wandering around in the desert. We are amazing people. But you know what? We're his creation. The first child that's born is called See a Son. And you know what? Our first revelation of what's going on in heaven is behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. See a Son. Do you see the Son? Do you know the Son? He loves you. He wants to have you as his own. He's going to pay a price for you that you can't pay. He's going to take care of your sin and wash you clean and heal your discouragement, heal the circumstances around you, and take care of you in the midst until all those things are perfect. But they aren't going to be perfect here. They're going to be perfect in heaven. Don't look for them here. Look for them there. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion this morning, as we just want to sit before you for a minute, you've spoken so much to us this morning, Lord. There's been so many things here. And forgive me, Lord, if I've moved those things in the wrong way or said the wrong things. Just correct those in the people's hearts, Lord, and just minister to them as they come just to meet with you, Lord, to remember what you've done for them. As you speak to them, Lord, may they just confess those things or just to ask you for more of your presence. Father, you know their deepest need. Meet with them, speak to their hearts, minister to them, Lord, in your sweetness, in your presence, and just be glorified in this place. Just help us, Lord, just to reflect on all that you've done and to just know you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Father, just thank you so much for how you speak to us, how you minister to us, and how you love us, Lord. You've loved us with an everlasting love. It's never going to go away, and we're just so thankful that we can count on you, that we can trust you. Lord, if our hearts aren't trusting you today, please just settle that with us right now, Father, that we would trust you in all our ways, in all our days, Lord. And Father, we have in our hands these elements to remember what you've done. We remember your body broken, Lord, as we see the holes, as we see the scars, the brokenness that you went through for us. We hold the cup just representing your blood that was poured out for us, Lord. We're so thankful for all that you've done, Father. You bought us with such an expensive price, the price of your own dear Son, just to redeem us from our sin, to redeem us from those hurts that are here. Hurts of our heart, the hurts from the past, the hurts that are yet to come, Lord. We know that there's many hurts that are going to be out there. But, Lord, you're able to cover all of those and to still bring that healing to our hearts in the midst of it. So we come this morning with grateful hearts, Father, and we partake now because of what you've done in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake.